Welcome back to Coffee with Innovate Finance, a podcast series where we're speaking with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Head of Partnerships, and today we're going to discuss the impact the COVID-19 pandemic has had on our work life, leading us, many of us, to work from home. So what do the offices of tomorrow look like? I have with me two very special guests today who'll answer this for us. James Lowry and David Lockyer. So James is head of Story, which was his vision of companies benefiting from flexible workspaces backed by British Land, which led to the creation of Story. I'm sure we'll talk about in just a bit. And David is head of Broadgate. David leads British Land strategy for the continued evolution of Broadgate and the surrounding assets. So thank you so much both for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Cheers, guys. So this one's for both of you and for our audience to get a bigger picture of, you know, who you guys are. So can you briefly tell us about Broadgate and Story and, you know, the history and the vision of both?
Sure. Well, if we start with Broadgate, I guess, first of all, I always say that, you know, to understand Broadgate and its vision for the future, you sort of have to start to look backwards, first of all. So a little 1 second on its history. You know, Broadgate, before Broadgate, it was actually a station based here next to Liverpool Street Station which opened in 1886, but gradually fell into disrepair. It was called Broad Street Station. Fell into disrepair. And by the end of it, there were just two lines running out of it, and it was very dilapidated. Closed in the mid-1980s, and the bulldozers quickly moved in to create, at the time, what was probably one of the most innovative new business districts ever created. And it coincided at the time with the advent of Big Bang and financial deregulation. Yeah. So Broadgate was able to respond really well to that, to provide these large buildings with huge trading floor plates that particularly US banks were eager to take. And we saw Broadgate, the evolution of Broadgate, really move very, very rapidly over that period of time, between sort of the mid-80s and early 90s. And the one thing that was really innovative about it was its use of the public realm and the outside spaces between the buildings. And those of you who have been to Broadgate, you know, may know Broadgate Circle, which I'm actually looking out over here at the moment, which used to host an ice rink, and now everywhere has an ice rink. But at the time, Broadgate was ahead of its time in terms of bringing together the importance of the public realm together with the buildings. So, you know, that's a little bit of a history of Broadgate. And you know, since that time, British Land have been owners of Broadgate for several decades now. Currently, in a partnership with GIC, which is the government of Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, and together we are now, you know, carrying on the next stage of the evolution of Broadgate as we redevelop and refurbish and take it further forward to make what it is today, which is, you know, responding to what customers, what business customers, office customers look for from their space and for their employees as great places to work. And that's one of our ambitions, to make Broadgate simply the best place to work in central London.
That is some history. I mean, we are based in Broadgate, and I have to say we quite love the cluster there, which we'll get to in just a bit. How about James? How about Story? Tell us a little bit about Story, the history, the vision.
Yeah, so we launched Story back in 2017. And actually, we designed it to complement British Land's campuses and, you know, and Broadgate being probably the best example of it. And we specifically designed the offer to align with the vision of the campuses, to make it fully integrated. We think there's a better experience, both from operational side of things, but also kind of integrating into a community. And then really allowing a different type of customer to access the campuses. You know, these are typically smaller, high growth companies. They want with that a bit more flexibility, and they really want some help with their fit out and then the kind of running their overall workspace. So we launched Story and we targeted specifically at scale ups. So not the kind of the co-working side. So a company that might have grown up in a co-working environment, but reached this point in their development where they felt like they want, you know, we heard a lot of their own space. but didn't quite want, weren't quite ready for a long lease or the complexity that could come with that. You know, and the things that rung true, rung kind of loud and clear to us, and that we designed Story to address was it's making sure that the brand of the of these companies going into the space is first and foremost shines through their brand, their culture, not that of a co-working operator. That the right level of flexibility is offered, you know, so it's not hyper flexibility that we offer. It's, you know, it's a more established business, so it's kind of 1 to 3 years on a lease, and then probably slightly tipping that balance between shared spaces and private spaces again, kind of to really build that culture. There are certain elements which we think need to be more focused on private spaces compared to what was in the market at the time. Today we have 12 locations. Our average company is about 55 people, so it's quite, they're relatively big, successful businesses, and around 2/3 of them are actually a UK or European headquarters of a global company. So they're, you know, that seems to be our sweet spot. And I think last point on Story, we launched in 2017 on the workspace side, but a couple of years ago we also launched Story Club. Which is meeting events and lounge space for Story customers and for British Land customers. So I think probably taking the shared amenity a little step further, so you can have larger meeting rooms, but actually host an event for up to 200 people. And we think that just added to the overall offering. And it, again, putting that into a center of a campus and making it a campus amenity, we think is powerful.
Yes, I mean, events are a big part. So it's almost like having flexibility, but you can still personalize your offices and you don't need to empty everything and leave, right? So why do you both think it is so important to have a tech cluster in the city of London?
Well, look, you know, I think that, I go back to the history of Broadgate for a second again. You know, 30 years ago, over the last 30 years, sorry, the areas around the city fringes to the north and to the east have changed dramatically over that period. Shoreditch, Spitalfields, Old Street. Now, these areas are some of the most sort of creative and tech parts of London and parts of the UK. And what you've got is you've got this area where the city sits. The city of London sits alongside these areas, and actually Broadgate sits right in the middle. I often say it sits right in the fold of the page where these two worlds come together. And I think, you know, we've seen that at Broadgate. We've been really successful actually in attracting a number of tech businesses that have gone through sort of this second wave of funding or second round of funding, and then I started to cluster in the area because they want to continue to raise the money. And now I think, you know, they feel it's beneficial to be close together and be close to their customers as well. You know, at Broadgate, we've attracted Starling Bank and Monzo in particular. They see a real importance in being here, and they see important in being close to the investors and in the financial and technology sectors. So over the next few years, we see that only starting to strengthen. And the city itself is just a great place now. It's really changed over the last, you know, 10 years, 5 years. You know, when I started working here, you know, the city was dead at the weekends and in the evenings. And, you know, look, it's really starting to change as a place and come increasingly alive. And we think over the next 5, 10 years, you know, we're going to see the real rise of innovation sectors, whether that be in tech, fintech, but also life sciences, artificial intelligence, etc. And I think, you know, we think that Broadgate and the city generally is really well placed to respond to that.
Great. And how about you, James?
Yeah, well, Story again is what I think we are well placed to support that overall. As Dave is describing, support that kind of vision of creating this kind of cluster and creating an ecosystem. I think one thing that rings true from when we were designing Story, we spoke to a lot of small business owners, and actually, one thing which we heard a lot, which maybe surprised me at the time, was although lots of small businesses like being around other small businesses, right? Because you're in the same similar phase of growth, your problems are similar to somebody else's problems, you can bounce ideas off people. But what really, really was attractive was sitting next to, rubbing shoulders to some of these tech giants that Dave is talking about. So be able to to come along, be in a story space, but actually in the same building, in the same campus. You've got your, you know, your investor, you've got your customers, you've got everybody you might need in that one location, in this kind of, you know, slightly, a more close-knit community than you would otherwise have if you just took a space in a, you know, random building elsewhere.
Well, I'm biased, but I do also have to say, I think the City of London is beautiful, so, especially on a good day, yeah. Right? So, yeah. And this one's for either one of you, but why do you think it is so important for you to also target fintech companies? Like you said, you know, you mentioned Starling, Monzo.
Yeah, I mean, look, first and foremost, at the end of the day, you know, we're in the business of leasing space to people. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we want to target and speak to people who are growth businesses. And, you know, we want them to grow with us. And Story is a great example of where people can start smaller and grow through to our through, and they can stay here at Broadgate and grow and evolve through that. So we think that's a great, you know, obviously fintech and tech more generally, innovation sector. You know, these are areas of growth, and therefore, you know, that's why it's important. But, you know, they form part of this, you know, and James mentioned it, they form a vital part of the ecosystem of these high growth companies. And, you know, we want to strive to create this neighborhood for customers to really collaborate and network in a space that, you know, encourages these innovative enterprises to cluster together. So hopefully that answers that question.
No, yes, it definitely does. I like your idea of, you know, supporting their growth journey almost, you know, and office space is a huge part of that. So what are you both doing at both Broadgate and Story to make it a vibrant and, you know, innovative neighborhood? And what differentiates you from other community clusters within London? So James, would you want to take that first?
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, look, so I think I'll let David talk about the Broadgate element, but I think what I, you know, my very short answer is, you know, all the great stuff that David does and with that Broadgate, the Story team gets to benefit, right? So all the kind of the amenity, the public realm, all those things, it's the absolute competitive advantage that we have in the flex world, that we're just plugged into these amazing kind of spaces and the campus. But just kind of zooming in on the Story side of things, that I think a couple of differentiators which you know ring true, I think, when we speak to all kind of, you know, existing customers and prospective ones, is and sort of David touched on it. You know, this ability to grow within one location, but also grow in a across multiple buildings, multiple products. You know, we've only been going since 2017, but one of our earlier customers is just completing their third move, you know, all within 100 meters, each time doubled in size, each time moved buildings, and each time probably we learned something and fitted that space out or configured the space a little bit differently. So it's that, you know, that offering that, and then, you know, and I think, you know, they have that ability to keep growing and growing and growing into kind of bigger and bigger spaces and different offerings. And then secondly, we're in that growth journey. One of the things that we've worked really hard on, Story, is to provide this kind of, it's almost a modular office, you know, something which is easily configured. And it is really easy to kind of break down, what do you mean by kind of a workplace strategy? And actually, what kind of activities do you do? And then quickly and cost effectively reconfigure all of that space for a given company. And we think the combination of just these amazing buildings in this kind of amazing location, and then inside the box being able to quickly and effectively reconfigure, it becomes really quite a unique offering.
That sounds brilliant. How about you, David? What do you think you guys are doing at Broadgate?
Yeah, you know, look, you know, I alluded to it earlier. I mean, five or six years ago, you know, we set a Broadgate vision for how we were going to reinvent Broadgate and take it forward. And really what we started to look at was around some of the fundamentals, because some of the fundamentals of Broadgate are, you know, it hard to replicate. First of all, it's 32 acres in central London, i.e. one of the world's most, you know, fantastic cities in Zone 1, sitting on top of central Liverpool Street Station with Crossrail Station, you know, when it opens hopefully next year in 22, you know, right outside the front door. And we have 4.5 acres of public realm between the buildings. So you have this great mix of scale of buildings, size of businesses who come here. So all the ingredients were here to make a great place. And really a catalyst for us to be able to progress our plans were it was the move of UBS, who moved out of 3 or 4 buildings across Broadgate and consolidated into one building, 5 Broadgate, which if any of you have been to Broadgate, you can't miss it because it's slap bang in the middle, and it's a big silver building in the middle of Broadgate. And the buildings that they left behind, we've redeveloped and refurbished and you know, I guess modernized again to meet sort of modern office occupiers' requirements. And one of the things that we did in particular was really focus on the amenity at ground floor level. Historically, all of the buildings were occupied by, you know, probably single occupiers, by banks who didn't want to share the spaces with other people and kept all of their sort of facilities and amenities in-house. Well, what we've done is opened up all of the ground floors, dramatically increased the amount of F&B and leisure and retail. Here at 100 Liverpool Street, the building I'm sitting in at the moment, we've recently completed this building. And, you know, we've opened that up and increased the amount of retail here quite significantly. And it's just made a way more interesting place and leveraged off the public realm. We've got Exchange Square just to the north of the station. We're currently revamping that into a new park. Because it's really important to have to create these different spaces, because I'm sure we're going to come onto it in a moment, but people want to work and live in different ways now, and creating these different places for them to, you know, people used to talk about work-life balance, and at the end of the day, it's not really work-life balance, it's just life. And we hope to be able to create that here at Broadgate for people.
Thank you. And, you know, before COVID hit, I mean, we were seeing a lot of construction happening as well. And there was a cinema which opened, which I did not check out yet, but seems quite cool. And, you know, of course, that was right before the lockdown, I remember it had opened up. And of course, I'm sure, like with everybody else, COVID-19 must have impacted yourselves, you know, with the majority of tech and financial services professionals working from home. So can you share how it has impacted yourselves, and are there certain trends you guys are seeing? David, do you want to take that one first?
Yeah, sure. Look, you know, as you'd expect, with the advice from the government being to work from home if you can, and obviously sometimes actually being the requirement to stay home, clearly the number of people coming into our offices have been really low. And, you know, that still remains the case, I think, and we'll start to see that. But the conversations that we're having with people are that they are increasingly starting to return, and they're not forcing people to return. The business, people actually want to sort of start dipping their toe back in the water and coming back into London. They're missing their social interaction. They're missing the interaction with their with their colleagues. And so, you know, we have dipped, I think at Broadgate right now, we're probably only at about, in our offices, we're about sort of 15% occupancy versus normal levels. But that varies across different industries as well. In fact, you know, some of the roles, some of the businesses actually require people to be in the office, whether they be for compliance reasons, regulation reasons. Actually, you know, the number of the ability of traders to be able to work as easily at home versus in the office. So some of those things, some businesses have actually kept their occupancy pretty high. But what we're starting to see is that you know, people are increasingly coming back. It has obviously impacted our sort of food and beverage, our retail and our bars and restaurants dramatically. You know, that's been well documented across the whole of central London with the drop off of, you know, of people. But we supported all of our retailers and our F&B here, our food and beverage here. And, you know, because it's important that they're here when people do come back, because that's what makes the life and soul of this place. We wouldn't want people to come back to work and their favorite restaurants or their favorite bars had not made it through. So we've supported people on the way through. So you know, yeah.
That creates a community, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How about you, James? Your thoughts on COVID?
Yeah, well, so from a story customer point of view initially, you know, one of the advantages of the story model is that we have always focused on the larger side, but they're big companies, right? So we've been spotting these big companies, and on the whole, our big companies have made it through the last, you know, year and a bit now well. And, you know, exactly as David pointed out, we've been here, we've been supporting them in, you know, in every way we possibly can. And actually speaking to a lot of them now, they are desperate to get back in the office. So that's kind of nice to hear, you know, particularly on those companies with you know, younger employees. They all want to be in, back, and together. So that's, you know, so that has been good. You know, where it's over the last, you know, in the flex sector, where it has been more painful, given the nature of companies, you know, moving in, moving out, you know, getting companies to move in during you know, a global pandemic and a lockdown, you know, viewings were obviously on the lower side, right? Yeah. So we went through in the depths of lockdown, there wasn't much activity. But what we are seeing now, and it's really this year, month by month, kind of, you know, ramping up really, really fast, is increasing demand. You know, viewings, I think we had viewings, you know, where we picked up in January. They more than doubled in February, and then more than doubled again in March, and we're probably going to have more again in this month. And actually, at the rate we're going, I think this month we will have more viewings than we had pre-COVID. So we're really seeing this kind of injection of energy into people really wanting to A, come back, but B, find a new space. To pick up on your point on the kind of trends side of it, you know, what, you know, I think, you know, honestly, it's a bit too difficult to really know for sure what, you know, what's going to happen in the office world. But there are a few themes that seem to be, you know, that I think we can all kind of agree will come true. And that's, you know, that the hybrid office for working is here to stay, you know, so that people are going to work from home, continue. And as a result of that, the role of the office, you know, it will not change, but dial up to be more of this space for collaboration and culture building, right? And what does that mean for the way that they're fitted out, they use the design? And then I think the third point, which seems to again be holding true, is that the, you know, people want a high quality workplace experience. You know, if you're going to convince people to come from home, convince people on trains, the commutes, everything else, it's got to be good when you get there. And that could be the physical experience, the digital experience, and actually some, you know, the kind of environmental kind of wraparound too. All of that, I think, will become more important than ever. So actually being able to work with our customers, you know, be there with them, continue to evolve with them, be our kind of this expert trusted partner, that's probably going to be our, I think, the, you know, the best thing we can do in the short term until it becomes clear what the future does look like.
So I was just going to add to that, if that's okay, because I was just going to, you know, I think James is absolutely right. You know, there's been this battle over the last 12 months in very polarized views, or is it work from home or is it work from the office? Actually, the answer is neither. The answer is it'll be a hybrid. And in fact, it'll be work from anywhere, because that's what you can do these days. And, you know, already before COVID, you know, the average number of days in the office was something like 4.5 or 4 days. Yeah. Already, it wasn't so actually we think probably that might go to maybe 3 days. People might come in, you know, on average again, and there'll be a wide variation across the board. But, you know, I think, again, to James's point, you know, it'll be, what's the reason to come in? You've got to have, so it's high quality offices, high quality office space will endure. And we're still seeing that. We're still seeing people look forward and say, you know what, we're still going to require office. We maybe don't need as much space as we previously needed, but we're still going to need something. And we want it. I mean, if we're going to have something, we want it to be really well located, and we want it to be super high quality. And so, you know, hopefully that positions us well. We'll see.
No, I do agree. I mean, 13 months has been difficult. And like, you know what James said, I mean, culture building and collaboration is key and it's heart of every company, right? So that is very important. And maybe briefly, David, this one's for you. Can you, you know, I mean, I know you touched upon it, but if you can, you know, reiterate, but how has COVID-19 affected your strategy of building traditional office spaces then?
Yeah, sure. I hope we sort of haven't really built traditional office space in traditional, you know, in that sense of the word, because, you know, I guess what we're seeing is that, to come back to it, we still think, you know, the requirement for physical offices is still there. And what we've seen is this acceleration of trends that are already playing out in the market. And what we need to ensure that we can provide is the flexibility of the physical space. And then to come back to James's, what we're doing with Story is the flexibility contractually and the services that we provide people to ensure that we create these great buildings for people. And again, 100 Liverpool Street that I'm sitting in is a fantastic example of that. This is hugely, you know, sustainable. It's a net zero carbon building. It's our first net zero carbon building. We've leased it up really well over the period of time. You know, it's around 500,000 square feet. We've only got 20,000 square feet remaining in this building, and we only completed it a few months ago. So, and we're starting to see this come back to life again. So, I you know, we'll continue to build office buildings, and we'll continue to build them in central London. But it does mean that, you know, we will ensure that they have the suitable flexibility within them, and the design and the importance of those things. And, you know, the importance, small point, but, you know, increasingly you had to provide more amenities, more cycle spaces, more showers, because people, you know, have changed some of their commuting habits as well over the last year.
Making it very sustainable, you know, that's a huge part of what you guys are doing. So that's great. So what upcoming project do you both have in line, and what can we expect to see next? James?
Actually, I was just going to build the main focus. It's kind of happening right this second, actually. So that building on David's 100 Liverpool Street point, we have just this last week launched a Story space in 100 Liverpool Street. And actually, we committed to continue with that space, to fit it out, to launch it in the middle of lockdown, right? So it was a worrying time when everyone's working from home. We all kind of sat down, we looked at the trends, looked at everything else, thought let's do it. And part of the reason for that is because it is that, you know, we think it is that kind of the that sort of responding to that sort of the future workspace requirements. You know, it has the kind of the food offering there, it has the Story Club location amenity embedded within it. So you can take your workspace, you take probably a little bit less workspace, you can do a town hall for up to 200 people all in one location. So all of a sudden you start the buying behaviors, and you know, what do you want from your workspace start to change. It is all run in a single operational layer. So when you walk in the building, you go to reception, or you go and book a meeting room, or you go to your workspace, it is all one team seamlessly joined up. We think that actually they're kind of small things, but they start to make a difference in your day-to-day experience. And then really lastly, from a, you know, likewise, from a digital point of view, you know, there is a single app from that Broadgate campus now, with all of the British Land customers will have access to. The Story amenity and the Story customers will, you know, can access all the amenities through this same interface, which again makes the whole thing much more joined up. So whether you're booking a meeting room, whether you're, you know, reporting a problem, whatever it might be, whether you're ordering a coffee, it's all seamlessly joined up. And we think when you start, you know, to David's point, we've been doing this for quite some time now, but it's just, you've got to dial it up. And each and every time you do it, you get a bit better. And I think COVID has been a great example of dialing everything up. And what we have hopefully done at 100 Liverpool Street is just thrown all the things that we wanted to do in one place, and doing that in a building which has this amazing, you know, sustainability credibilities, which Story has continued in the fit out. It is a smart building, so it enables to do all this kind of single digital interface. It enables us to put sensors into the building to understand how people are using it. So we are super, super excited about 100 launching. And, you know, to the leasing activity, we're seeing good interest in that space too.
I need to check out that building now. That's what I'm, you know, making a mention.
Come and have a look. Come and have a look, because we've been talking about 100 Liverpool Street a lot, but, you know, we opened the retail just before we went into the last lockdown. And so no one's really seen it. But, you know, we've attracted some great brands, and I know retail is going through a tough time, but But even so, we still leased up our space here at Broadgate really well. You know, we've done lettings to the likes of Gant, to Watches of Switzerland, to Tommy Hilfiger, to Kiehl's, to Waterstones, Monica Vinader, Reiss. So you know, it really added to the amenity, and I'm really looking forward to people coming back, because a lot of people won't have seen what we've done there. You know, there's a new gym we're opening as well as part of that, a new brand to the UK called John Reed. It's a first in the UK. It's a great concept. They bring in like a DJ twice a week, so you work out to a live DJ if that's your thing. And then it's building on the food and beverage. Tonight I'm going to the launch of Eataly. Eataly, I don't know if anyone knows it, but it's a big Italian food hall. And again, this is the first in the UK. This opens up at Bishopsgate. It's got 3 restaurants, 6 eateries. It's got 5,000 Italian food products. It's like the Italian Disneyland for food. So it's going to be great. It's really exciting. And then we've got more bars and restaurants to come, both here at 100 Liverpool Street and some of our other buildings. We complete the Exchange Park that I talked about. We complete that at the end of the year, which is a quadrupling of the amount of green space that was in that area. And that's going to be fantastic, again, for provide an area of sort of tranquility for people during the day and bring people in from the wider neighborhood. Because although we're a campus, we're still part of central London. And, you know, and there's no barriers around Broadgate. You know, we want to make it as accessible and open to as many people. You mentioned the Everyman Cinema. That'll be back and open shortly. And I think, you know, that's a great amenity for the campus. And, you know, our next project, in fact, is that we're actually underway now with the demolition of a building just over the road here, One Broadgate, which we are taking down and building a new sort of 480,000 square foot building there as well, which will take another 5 years to build. It takes a long time, I'm afraid, to build these things, but we're really looking forward to that, or four and a half years for that to come through. And, you know, there's still a lot to come at Broadgate, and to echo James's points, we're super excited about what the future holds.
I'm quite excited as well to come back to Broadgate. You're making me want to go back now.
That's great. You should come. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us today, both. But before I let you go, can I just ask you, what do you think the offices of tomorrow will look like, and how are both, you know, Broadgate and Story going to contribute to that vision? James?
You know, the one point, I think we've covered a lot around, you know, what we think the kind of components that we offer and why we think it's good. But interestingly, talking about the future of the office, I think the real winners in the office world will be those, and it's more of a, I think it's interesting, it's a learning from the tech sector in this kind of the agile way of development. The quicker that companies, any real estate business, can really understand customer needs, to test things, to learn from it, and then change and evolve what we are doing, that's what's going to make the kind of the great office of the future. Because right now we don't know. So having this kind of flexible kind of model behind it, you know, have a flexible business offering, but the kind of, you know, the machine doing all the workings in the background, getting that to work quickly and respond and evolve is going to create the office of the future. So it's slightly avoiding the question, but
you did talk about, you know, being agile, and almost it's a way to future-proof yourself, right, in a way.
Yeah.
How are you, David?
Look, I think James summarized it pretty well. Actually, the offices of the tomorrow are going to be, you know, it's going to be customer. It's increasingly customer-led. That is not the model of real estate of the past. To be absolutely honest, it's signed long contracts and more adversarial, in fact, between landlord and tenant. Even the names themselves, you know, some of these, you know, two separate parties. It's going to be coming together to trying to create this, you know, this vibrant environment, listening to our customers, and, you know, in particular, I think there's going to be an increasing focus on well-being and sustainability in the workplace, and I think, you know, that's, we've got to keep create reasons for people to want to come to the office to work, because it's been proven it's possible to work from home over the last 12 months. But we think, you know, a hybrid way of working of together is the way forward.
Yeah, it's a nice balance, right? I like sustainability, collaboration, culture building, wellness. So we covered quite a few things. So thank you so much to both of you, David, James. It was lovely speaking with you both and learning more about what we can expect, you know, as consumers, like you said, from you guys.
Look, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, likewise.
No, cheers, guys, and more power to you and the team, and really looking forward to, you know, seeing all that vibrancy in both, you know, Broadgate and Story. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. Do look out for upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs. As always, until next time, please do take very good care of yourselves, and goodbye.